Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of Carissa Carpenter. First, I'll look at the background, including the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Carissa Carpenter was born in April 1963 and was raised in Los Angeles, California. She married a man named Everett, who was about 13 years older than her. The couple had a daughter named Caroline in 1986. In 1991, the family moved to Granite Bay, California, 26 miles northeast of Sacramento. Carissa told people that she had been a famous child actor and model, but there was some type of terrible accident which ended her career. She was forced to change careers and became an agent and casting director. In 1994, Carissa established a California corporation called Declaration Studios and referred to herself as the CEO. In 1997, she approached the town of El Dorado Hills with an exciting idea that had the potential to greatly transform the community. Carissa proposed building the world's largest movie studio on 140 acres. The project would include 1 million square feet of facilities, including sound stages and screening rooms. Making this project possible was millions of dollars that would come from Carissa's mysterious investors. She refused to identify most of them, claiming they were famous Hollywood people. Carissa implied that George Lucas was one of these investors when she claimed that he visited the area twice by helicopter to look at the land. Later, when George Lucas was contacted by the media, he denied being part of the project or ever meeting Carissa. The town of El Dorado Hills was very excited about the project, but ultimately Carissa failed. According to her, water problems and environmental issues killed the project. There would be no life-changing movie studio in El Dorado Hills. In 1998, Carissa was sued by a marketing firm that she hired to help her with the project. A judgment of $33,000 was entered against her, but the marketing firm gave up trying to collect the money. Over the next few years, Carissa ran into other financial problems, including liens, judgments, and default notices totaling $282,000. In 2000, she and her husband separated. They divorced the next year. Despite all these various challenges, Carissa kept the dream of building a massive movie studio alive. In October 2000, she approached Sutter County about building a studio, resort, spa, and retail complex. According to Carissa, she had secured $425 million in financing. She never indicated where this money was coming from, but alluded to powerful friends when she said that she could pick up the phone and get a favor from the White House. When this deal predictably fell through, Carissa blamed environmental issues, including a rare species that lived on the land. In reality, Carissa had been using investment money to pay her living expenses, which led to all the members of her board resigning. In 2001, Carissa brought her Hollywood fantasy to Columbia, South Carolina, claiming that she was going to build a $400 to $500 million animation studio that would rival Disney. She was given the royal treatment by officials, which included meeting the governor and flying around in a helicopter scouting locations to build the studio. Not surprisingly, the money that Carissa promised never came in, and the deal fell through. Carissa blamed the weather in South Carolina, saying it was horrible, and filmmakers did not want to go there. In 2004, Carissa resurfaced in Northern California, this time in the planned community of River Islands in Lothrop. She dazzled officials with a plan to build a $3.49 billion city containing 1,200 houses, a water park, a theme park, and an upscale gaming club. When the plan fell apart, Carissa blamed water and zoning issues. In 2005, Carissa was charged with 3 felonies in Sacramento County for taking $34,000 from her grandmother's bank account in 2003. Carissa spent some of the money on horse riding lessons in London. When interviewed by the police, Carissa claimed that she had little money, no permanent address, and lived on Social Security. Later, the charges were dismissed because her grandmother died. In 2007, a $110,000 judgment was entered against Carissa after she failed to repay an $80,000 loan from a woman in Orange County. Carissa did not let all her financial problems discourage her. In 2010, she approached the town of Vallejo, California, with a proposal to build a $1 billion studio on Mare Island. This was the home of an old naval base. The Mare Island project collapsed when Carissa failed to come up with the money. In 2011, Carissa was charged with two felonies for bouncing a check for a stay at a luxury inn. The charges were dropped when she made the payment. In 2012, the small town of Dixon, California, was the next target for Carissa. She approached them with the idea of building a state-of-the-art movie studio for $2.8 billion. This studio would create over 1,000 high-income jobs, reinvigorate the economy of the struggling town, and attract some of the biggest names in Hollywood. Carissa told city officials that she had 33 people on her corporate team, but most of their identities were confidential. Supposedly, this was necessary because that was the way Hollywood did business. The town of Dixon was thrilled about this amazing opportunity and did not seem too concerned about the legitimacy of Carissa's claims. The city manager claimed that he had done as much due diligence as possible. He said, quote, "I don't want to put myself out on a limb. In other words, I'm not going to ruin my career on something I don't believe is real. I'm not going to jeopardize my future by falling victim to some sort of scam. It's as real as it can be," unquote. Clearly, some of the excitement was based on the prospect of celebrities visiting the area. He said, quote, "A huge amount of people are very excited about having Nicole Kidman and Robert De Niro running around town," unquote. Carissa approached landowners and collected signed letters of intent, offering $50,000 an acre for land that was only worth at most $20,000 an acre. On March 12, 2013, she spoke at the Dixon City Council meeting to announce that she had secured letters for 300 acres. The project could now go forward. She was going to build the massive studio. Everybody in Dixon was excited, but then an investigation by a local newspaper exposed Carissa's history of financial misfortune. Since the early 1990s, she had been the target of over $1.4 million in court-ordered judgments. Dixon officials were experiencing this pattern firsthand. Carissa had failed to pay them $100,000 that she guaranteed to the city to cover employees who were working on the project. Even though it appeared as though Carissa was up to her old tricks, the mayor of Dixon was not discouraged. He said, quote, "A lot of that stuff is hearsay. As far as I'm concerned, I think anybody that's in business, if you dig deep enough, you're going to find something that may have occurred. And there's always two sides to the story. Everything that we have done with Carissa Carpenter has been above board. And we have no reason to doubt that she isn't honest and straightforward in her desire to see this project through," unquote. When Carissa was interviewed in April 2013, she claimed that she had $50 million in tax credits, which could be used as collateral to push the deal forward. She also claimed that she had close relationships with many different filmmakers and financing was imminent. When confronted about her past financial indiscretions, Carissa had an excuse for all of them. None of them were her fault. On October 30, 2014, Carissa Carpenter's luck finally ran out. She was indicted for wire fraud, mail fraud, and making false statements to federal agents. The government accused her of using over $5 million of investor money for personal expenses. Carissa had maintained an extravagant lifestyle, which included expensive jewelry, a $75,000 Mercedes-Benz, and tens of thousands of dollars in dating services. The government said that architecture firms, public relations firms, and Hollywood people were not involved or had little involvement in the project. Carissa had been lying the entire time. When facing these types of charges, most people would be discouraged, but not Carissa. She had big plans and transformed into a film, TV, and multimedia consultant for directors and CEOs looking to streamline their business entities. Also, Carissa was an ordained minister who handled event and wedding planning. As far as those pesky federal charges, Carissa had a plan to resolve them. She believed that she could obtain immunity from prosecution by transforming into Lady Carissa Carpenter, honored Lady Knight of American territory for the Knights Templar of the Holy Grail. In August 2017, she allegedly violated the terms of her release and was put in jail. This was no place for a lady knight. In December 2017, Carissa went to court to try to secure her release. She complained that she was not getting proper medical care in jail because her health issues were too complex. In a dramatic moment, she fell face down on the defense table as if she had fainted. Despite her theatrical performance, Carissa remained in jail. On July 6, 2018, she pleaded guilty to mail fraud and lying to a federal agent. During her hearing, she fainted or pretended to faint and was taken away in an ambulance. On November 16, 2018, Carissa Carpenter was sentenced to 6.5 years in prison and ordered to pay $3.64 million in restitution. She secured an early release in October 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic. A court ordered her to pay $200 a month. At that rate, it would take her 1,516 years to pay off her restitution. This, of course, does not account for inflation. Carissa suggested that she intended to pay back every penny of what she owed. After her release from prison, she asked the court for a reduction in her $200 a month restitution payment. I guess this was part of her master plan to satisfy the debt completely. She was playing the long game. She was like, 1,500 years is rushing things. Slow and steady wins the race. The request was denied. During the last update on this case provided by the media, Carissa Carpenter was being financially supported by a romantic partner and never sought employment. Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number one. There is no question that Carissa was guilty of mail fraud and of lying to federal agents. Even though she pleaded guilty, she denied using investor money on personal expenses. She claimed that she borrowed against her equity in the company to maintain her lavish lifestyle. Item number two, Carissa never took responsibility for anything in a meaningful way. She always had an excuse for her financial misunderstandings and her criminal behavior. One of her favorite excuses involved physical illness. Carissa claimed that she had 51 major health episodes in her lifetime. Keeping track of all these health claims is kind of an important skill for a con artist to develop, but Carissa fell behind in this domain. For instance, she claimed that she had multiple hysterectomies. Item number three, what do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Carissa was self-centered, impulsive, irresponsible, arrogant, cold, callous, materialistic, greedy, lazy, grandiose, manipulative, deceptive, loquacious, falsely believed she was special, had a sense of entitlement, and was moderately creepy. After working for a while as a casting director for small roles, Carissa decided to pursue bigger dreams. She developed a scam that involved approaching investors and towns with a big movie studio project. She was able to attract a few investors, which allowed her to live an extravagant lifestyle. This lifestyle gave her the ability to convince other people, like city officials, that she had secured secret Hollywood investors. Carissa hinted that one of these was George Lucas, who she would refer to in conversations by his first name. City officials were starstruck by Carissa's proposal. They dreamed of having A-list actors walking on the streets of their little town. Part of Carissa's scheme was to bring people in by leveraging their own narcissistic characteristics against them, like grandiosity. Several officials knew that Carissa was bad news, but insisted on moving forward with the project because they did not want to kill the dream. They claimed to have checked everything out, but their due diligence mostly consisted of imagining Nicole Kidman buying a coffee downtown. Carissa never had any intention of actually building a movie studio. There were no secret Hollywood investors. This was all just a fraud to maintain her lifestyle. Her strategy was based on the idea that she could live on investor money indefinitely. She could spend the entirety of her life in the middle of a deal. This was the most exciting place to be because everything was possible. When people learned about the scam, Carissa would just move on, blaming the failure on environmental issues or other causes outside her control. She knew that some of the people she ripped off would demand payment, but many would just let the money go uncollected because it wasn't worth it to pursue her. They did not want to spend money to chase money they would never get. Carissa could just keep doing this forever and would never have to pay back everything she owed, just some of it. Unless she lives for over 1,500 years, Carissa was correct. She did end up getting ahead with her scam. She beat the system, and all it cost her was a few years in prison. Those are my thoughts on the case of Carissa Carpenter. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.